because I just found that those things were not working for me. But the things that did stick were having regular massages and doing chiropractic adjustments. Those things I still do till this day.
Hey there. Welcome to the Tinnitus Relief Podcast. I'm Dr. Ben Thompson, your host and friend on this journey to finding relief from tinnitus. If you've been around the block, seen doctors, and heard that all too common phrase, there's not much you can do, then you're in the right place. Here at the tinnitus telehealth company that I started, Treble Health, we challenge that notion every day. My team and I, experts in tinnitus treatment, believe there's always a way to improve your situation. Need help? Why not start with our free tinnitus quiz? It's something I've put together with the best minds in the field. And honestly, I think it's a game changer for anyone with tinnitus. Give it a go at tinnitusquiz.com. Who knows? You might just decide Treble Health is the team you want to work with. Let's get into today's episode and find some relief together.
Once you get the relief that the sound therapy provides, then you can tackle all of those other things that are super hard to do when you don't have the relief. When you have this screaming noise in your ear, you can't do cognitive behavioral therapy. You can't swallow any of the work because you're so agitated. But once you get the sound therapy going consistently and you feel like you can take a breath, then you can tackle the actual work.
We have a special topic of managing tinnitus, which can be partly somatosensory, as well as multi-causes of tinnitus that lead to some complexity, however, still finding relief through that. If you could please introduce yourself and give a quick backstory of where you are today and where you were when you found us at Treble Health.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Tamara. I'll start with the beginning. I found out that I was suffering from tinnitus in March of 2022. I later found out that it was related to a head trauma that I had received. And the first couple of months were really rough, just kind of figuring out what exactly it was, if there was a treatment, if there was a cure, and then trying to find help. And I came across Treble Health, I believe in either the end of March or the beginning of April, got paired up with an audiologist, and then I began my journey of habituation. I'm now a year in, and I'm definitely not where I want to be yet, but I am way better than I was in the beginning. Just to give you an idea, on a scale of 1 to 10, I think when I started, I was probably at a 9 or 10 out of 10. And now on an average day, I say I'm sitting somewhere around a 5.
Thank you, Tamara. And I'd also like to introduce Dr. Tracy Peck Holcomb. Tracy, tell us about your role in Tamara's journey with tinnitus.
Well, Tamara is like one of my favorite patients. I don't know if we're allowed to say that, but she has just, you know, this process. There are times when things move really fast and you make huge leaps and huge progress, and that's super motivating. And then there are times when it's not as fast and you feel like, okay, what's going on? And so Tamara, the work that we do is very collaborative. It's a partnership. You're constantly trying to kind of modify and change things and adapt things depending on where the patients are at and what might be going on. There's so many variables involved in how bothersome or not bothersome tinnitus can be on any given day, week, or month. And I think Tamara down for anything. So it's down to try different things, down to, you know, and I think that back and forth and working so well together, it's been so great to work with her and see her progress so far and know that she's going to get where she ultimately wants to be. So, yeah.
All right. So let's have you all talk about what were the causes, what were the different factors involved? Because we know that not all tinnitus is the same. And there's hundreds of people who will watch this who want to know, okay, Tamara's story is inspiring. Does it relate to me? Am I similar? Can her, what she used be helpful for me? So could you all comment on some of the different causes or the different factors involved in why you have tinnitus, Tamara, and other things that were going on?
Well, I mean, speaking just for myself, I think that because I did have that pretty hard blow to the head, I learned that my tinnitus is somatosensory. So it's connected to, you know, the musculoskeletal system. And there are definitely stressors, physical stressors that make it worse, whether it's muscular pain, whether it's bad posture, whether it's stress, those types of things really affect my tinnitus in a big way.
Yeah, I was going to say that addressing that piece and having that be part of Tamara's sort of treatment approach. So in addition to obviously the sound therapy and the counseling and stress reduction and all the other things we do for her, a big part, especially in the beginning, was addressing tension, tightness, pain in the jaw, in the neck, in the upper shoulders, and noticing kind of the trends with that when things were really consistent and regular with addressing those things, how that affected overall the tinnitus in itself. And doing those things consistently, I think, made a big difference, especially in those first, in the first few months, for sure.
Yeah.
So with that context in mind, Tamara, what were the tools that you used that provided some relief at the beginning? And then tell us about how those tools evolved, or how you got better over time by using tools, and whether that be physical, you know, physical actual tools, yeah, devices, or more strategies.
Yeah, I think it was kind of multi-layered. Like, addressing the physical part was probably the easiest part, because you can go get a massage, or you can go take a walk, you can change your mattress to, you know, support your posture. Once you figure out the physical part, it's the other parts, I think, that take a little bit more work. Decreasing stress, that's always going to be extremely difficult. Like, everybody has stress in their life, whether it's big or small. That's really difficult to try to remove that element completely. And then I think the big piece was the sound therapy, getting my master's. I think when I started using the sound therapy, that's when I made the biggest jump in improvement. Having the master's in all the time, it just, my brain just started to adjust differently. So when you add all of those things together, using the maskers, having constant sound therapy, addressing my body issues, which I did through massage, through chiropractic adjustments, and then just trying to decrease my overall stress level. Having to do all of those things at once is a lot, but if you don't do all of those things, it's, you know, it's not going to, you're not going to get the results that you want. So you kind of just have to do everything, and like all of it all at once.
And tell us about which of those tools provided some immediate relief versus which of those tools maybe brought up feelings of, I don't know if this is going to work for me, but I'm just going to keep trying at it. And then eventually you realize, oh, wow, that was useful.
In the beginning, you kind of just throw everything at it until you find something that sticks. So I did acupuncture, like traditional acupuncture, which I no longer do. I did cranial sacral therapy, which I no longer do, because I just found that those things were not working for me. But the things that did stick were having regular massages and doing chiropractic adjustments. Those things I still do till this day. And I do notice the days that I have treatment, sometimes my tinnitus will change after the treatment and become a little bit easier to manage. And then the maskers are a staple. I barely ever take them out. I have them in all the time. So sound therapy is the biggest key. Consistent sound therapy.
And Dr. Tracy, what are your thoughts on the different tools that were beneficial? And maybe was there some trial and error in terms of, okay, let's try this. Let's analyze the result. Tell us about your perspective.
Yeah, I think, you know, the initial fitting of the devices, her tinnitus maskers, getting that sound therapy going, getting that initial relief, like kicking the process off, you know, taking the edge off of just allowing to be able to like take that deep breath and have a little bit of relief, that gives you the bandwidth to be able to then try other things. And yes, it's definitely trial and error. What works for someone in terms of the stress reduction piece of it, the cognitive behavioral piece of it, the, you know, improving sleep, like what strategies work for one person might not work for another. So there is a little bit of trial and error in putting together like the plan for each patient and what's going to work. And then it's just a matter of, once you figure those things out, it's doing it consistently. And I think consistency is one of the key words with all of this. And so, you know, once you have your sort of list of things that help, you know, doing them regularly, keeping that going is what's going to yield the best results. And being flexible enough to know that that list will change over time too.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think one thing that you just said that was really important was once you get the relief that the sound therapy provides, then you can tackle all of those other things that are super hard to do when you don't have the relief. When you have this screaming noise in your ear, you can't do cognitive behavioral therapy. You can't swallow any of the work because you're so agitated. But once you get the sound therapy going consistently and you feel like you can take a breath, then you can tackle the actual work.
We have a question about sound therapy. Tamara, did you keep your maskers in even if your tinnitus was low? And then a second question there for Tracy, which is, should someone be wearing the tinnitus maskers all the time, or until what point should they stop wearing them?
Okay, well, it is difficult when I'm having days that the sound is not super obnoxious and it's really low. You don't want to have them in because you want to enjoy, you know, the time that you're not hearing this noise. But you have to stay consistent. Even when it's low, you have to keep your sound therapy on and just put it at a lower volume. One thing that worked for me was instead of having the pink noise from the maskers on the days that it's really good and I don't feel like having the pink noise, I just put instrumental music on super, super low. Because one thing that you don't want to happen is to start getting agitated by your sound therapy, because then that's just doing the opposite of what you want it to do. So I changed up and I put some really soft music on the days that it's good. That way I can still keep my maskers in on the days that it's really good.
Mara has it down, man. She's got it. She knows what to do. Yes. Yeah. So I would say, yeah, basically she just said exactly what I was going to say, which is you do want to still use your sound therapy, even on days where, you know, your tinnitus is really low, which you will have those days, and you want to still get some sound therapy in, but you can change it up, right? It's changing it up to a different type of sound that's more pleasant, you know, maybe more just kind of something that you're using that you really enjoy listening to. But you do want that consistency even on those good days, because we really want to, you know, facilitate that long-term habituation. And if you're up and down with it, then your brain, you never get into that kind of pattern. So you don't have to necessarily do as many hours. You don't necessarily have to use your primary sound, but you still want to get sound therapy in every day.
All right. Let's now ask Tamara a more general question of, for others in a similar place as you were, what is your advice? Because we know some people listening and watching are currently in a place where you were, where you needed help and you got that help. What is your advice to others in terms of things they can try, mental strategies, and just the motivation as well?
I mean, that's a really, really tough place to be in. And it's really hard to take advice when you're in that place, because it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. All you are taking in is that feeling that you're scared, you're frightened, you're annoyed, you don't know what's happening. But all I can say is, you are going, even as you get better, and you will get better, there are going to be back and forths. So you're going to have great days and you're going to have some rough days. I still have some rough days. But when you have those good days, I just tell myself, this is what it's going to be like. Eventually, all of my days are going to be like this. If I'm experiencing this really good day where it's like a 2 out of 10, that's where we're headed. That is the benchmark. That's where we're going. It's not going to stay where you're at if you do all of the things that you're supposed to do. If you do your cognitive behavioral therapy, if you do your sound therapy, that needle is going to continue to move. So take those good days as a flashlight that's moving you towards that tunnel. Like, you are going to get there. You're not going to be stuck in that dark place forever. It will move. You just have to put the work in.
And what kind of encouragement would you have for someone who maybe has experienced some relief? Maybe they're feeling 20% better, but they're not at their resolution. They're not where they want to be. And maybe you're in that type of middle ground right now. But what kind of encouragement do you have or perspective do you have for that stage?
You know, it's hard because as much as I feel like I've got it, there are days where I don't got it. And I think it's okay to have those days. It's okay to feel sorry for yourself and to have your feelings. But once you're through, pick yourself up and just keep going. You've already experienced relief, so you know that it's possible. So know that where you're at, it's still possible to experience more relief. So I think I try to find things that help me focus on something other than my tinnitus, because it is consuming. It can consume you and it can make you feel like you don't want to go outside or you don't want to hang out with your friends or you don't want to go to work or whatever it is. But go outside and take a walk. Find a hobby that you can focus on. Paint by numbers. Get a coloring book. Go, you know, get a jump rope, do whatever, do something that will help you focus on something other than the tinnitus. That's all, you know, that's all you can do, because it's not going to disappear in the snap of a finger. You got to find a coping mechanism.
Love that. Dr. Tracy, jump in here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think just the two key things that she hit on that are so important is to allow yourself on the days where you're having a tough day or a day that, you know, isn't as, you know, great as a lot of the days are in the later stages of this, that it's okay to acknowledge that that's a tough day. And, you know, there are better days coming and you have strategies that you can use that can help you manage through that day. And then I think the second thing is that in the later stages, I think what's really helpful is to engage in activities that direct your attention and shift your attention elsewhere. It's because we know the brain can only pay attention to so many things at one time. So if we are having a tougher day with it, we know there's going to be ups and downs, even in the later stages, right? We're looking at this from a bird's eye view. We're looking at this from the big picture. We know there's better days overall than tough days. And on the days where it's tough, it's about, you know, implementing strategies, engaging in activities that are going to shift your attention and focus away from the signal, which helps overall promote that positive neuroplasticity that we're looking for. And when you do that consistently and proactively before you get super annoyed, before you get super frustrated, what that does is it takes the edge off of the tinnitus. It takes your attention away from it. And it's really helpful in kind of moving through those days. I think, you know, giving the brain something else to focus on, not letting ourselves sort of sit in that space where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so frustrated by this, right? Because all that does is negatively reinforce to the brain that we need to continue to pay attention to the tinnitus. So I think in the later stages, it becomes more about directed attention, shifted attention. And we were talking the other day, and so many patients of mine have talked about how the weather's getting warmer. Now we can kind of get outside, get some sunshine, do things, which we know helps too. So summertime's, you know, a good time.
I just want to say one thing. When you have an invisible disability that people can't see, sometimes we tend to put a face on. You don't want people to know that you're hurting or that you're in pain or that you're upset. You put a face on and you hold everything in. One thing that I have learned is to stop putting that face on. If I need help, ask for help. If you have friends, lean on them. If you have family, lean on them, because the more help that you get, the more you're going to be able to take care of yourself. So stop putting that face on, because people can't see tinnitus. They don't know if I'm hurting. I might be smiling, but I'm in pain. So lean on the people around you, because you need to be able to take care of yourself. So just lean on the people around you so that you have some support. As you get better, as you get up and start getting out and you stop saying no to invitations and you stop, you know, you start getting up and out again, people kind of assume that you're just okay. And if you're not okay, it's okay to say that you're not okay and to ask for help.
Dr. Tracy, any thoughts or words of encouragement here for others who are in a similar position as Tamara was?
Well, just to piggyback off what she said, I think this is not as well known in tinnitus, and kind of some of the stuff that you'll see online is that fluctuations in the, not only just the volume, so that's talked about a lot. I'd say that's a pretty common thing, but changes also in the types of sounds that you hear, especially as you go through the stages, it changes. Tinnitus shifts in what it sounds like, the sounds you have, where you locate it, the quality of the sounds, all of that fluctuates, and it's completely normal and part of the process. And in general, a positive sign that, you know, we're reaching the areas of the auditory cortex that we need. We're making changes. There's shifts happening. Sometimes we don't love the shifts as much as others, but that it's normal and it's not an indication that anything bad is happening. It's part of the process. I think that's something that is not as well known. And so when things change, the initial reaction typically is worry or concern. And like, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm regressing? Does that mean I'm, you know, having a setback? And that's not the case at all. And so I think being prepared and knowing that ahead of time and framing it that way helps to make it less scary. And then it's about using the tools that you have, right, to be able to get that relief and have it not be as, you know, irritating. But yeah, it's a process, right, Tamara? It's a process.
Definitely a process.
Talk to us about some last words of encouragement for where you are today. And again, a big thank you for joining us.
I think I need some words of encouragement sometimes, but I mean, listen, it took me a long time to realize that this was something that I was going to have to work through. I wish that I could snap my fingers and that it would be gone, but that's not going to happen. So the only thing that I can do is whatever is in my power to push my habituation forward. I came across, like, not too long ago, I felt like I was stuck, like the noise wasn't moving. It was consistently kind of plateauing. And Tracy suggested, let's start over from the beginning with your CBT. Do all the things that we were doing in the beginning. Go back to your meditation. Go back to all the things you did in the beginning to calm it down. And maybe that will jumpstart it again. And that's exactly what we did. And then it started to move again. So all I can say is put the work in and you'll get the results. I know that when you're feeling down and the tinnitus is bothersome, the last thing you want to do is put the work in. But you have to put the work in because you don't want to be in this place forever. You want to habituate. You want to get to stage four. So put your work in and you'll get there. I'm hopeful that I will get there. So, you know, just pat yourself on the back for what you've done and just keep going.
I'm Ben Thompson, founder of Treble Health. Thanks for joining us in today's episode of the Tinnitus Relief Podcast. Remember, despite what you've heard, there's always a path to better managing your tinnitus. Looking for what to do next? Try the Tinnitus Quiz, which I crafted alongside the world's leading tinnitus doctors. It's a free assessment that I strongly recommend for anyone struggling with tinnitus. Why not take a moment to give it a try? Visit tinnitusquiz.com to get your results today. Stay hopeful. There's so much you can do for your tinnitus.